My name is Zoe Hinton, and I'm here with Ryan Miarelli and Bobby Lim.
Hello.
I said hi.
You interrupted her, and she's offended.
We're going to talk about what we expect in Season 2 of Star Wars Rebels.
Well, first of all, I was just looking up stuff about Season 2 of Star Wars Rebels, and it turns out the first episode is called The Lost Commanders, but I didn't know this. The second episode is called Relics of the Old Republic, which tells me that we're going to see a lot more of the clones than we thought.
I'm okay with this.
I am too.
We're clones, yeah.
Yeah. So who are the three clones who are coming back?
Gregor, Rex, and Wolf.
Yes, and that video that USA Today posted the other day, which I guess we can link to in the show notes, they have really distinct personalities, and it's kind of like an exaggeration of where they were in the Clone Wars.
We've already seen that Gregor is a little...
insane.
Yeah.
Senile, maybe.
So it was, that wasn't him in the Clone Wars, but...
Yeah. Well, but he always did have, like, mental... Like, he was unstable after the Battle of Sarish, and he lost his memory.
I guess. And Rex seems to be kind of like Rex, like, no nonsense, but a little more, like, compassionate than the other clones.
Yeah.
And then we've only really seen Wolf firing at Kanan.
Right.
Which I don't think Ahsoka wanted that, but...
Right. But, I mean, Kanan... Order 66 was vicious for Kanan, so his reaction to the clones was...
Because they were joking, then next, all of a sudden.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the clones are kind of cut and dry. Actually, today, the first two episodes, due to a computer error in the dating, got posted to the United Kingdom's on-demand services. I think we'll be seeing those online soon. Very soon. But, yeah, I mean, the clones, we kind of know where that's going, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to help the Rebels. But on the Blu-ray, in the special features, Dave talks about bringing in a character that's so exciting that all he can say is that he's bringing in this character. Like, who could that even be?
We already know Hondo's back. Ahsoka.
Right. Well, he mentions them, and he mentions the clones, and then he mentions a new bounty hunter character.
I still think we could be seeing Bo-Katan in a Mandalore episode.
That's possible. That's really possible. Because there's the one episode coming where Kanan and Sabine kind of get into Mandalorian heritage.
I think we'll be seeing Bo-Katan because... I mean, she's probably what inspired Sabine to rebel. But,
yeah.
She seems like she'd be rebelling against the Empire.
She seems like by now, even though it's only been like 15 years, she would be a folk hero among the Mandalorians for what she did. Because she stood up for Mandalorian culture before anything. And, but yeah, I don't know. I think it could be her, but I feel like we got to start seeing Episode 7 tie in somewhere.
Somewhere.
It could be Snoke. It could be a Knight of Ren.
And I think the female Inquisitor, I think she's Barriss still.
Yeah, very likely. Barriss as in the Clone Wars character, or Barriss as in Bobby's cat? Bobby has a cat named Barriss.
I do have a cat named Barriss. And Ahsoka.
Of course.
I think it is my cat. My cat is the new Inquisitor.
I believe it.
Well, her methods are perfect. She just lays on your head and purrs. And then you give in.
Well, have you seen the new Disney XD trailer where Barriss, or... female Inquisitor is fighting Ezra?
Yes, I have.
And Chopper is blasters, so...
Well, I think Chopper...
gonna die.
Yes. I think Chopper with blasters, I'm pretty sure he's confronting Ez Morrigan with those. Because he's still buddy-buddy with Lando.
Yeah.
And there's the episode where Ezra and Hondo are captured by Ez Morrigan.
I'm excited.
I know, me too. Oh, man. That's going to be...
So, Ez Morrigan's going to be a repeat character?
Yeah.
Okay, he seemed kind of like a throwaway. And...
No, he did to me too, but it's James Hong from... is he from Big Trouble in Little China?
Yes, he is.
Are we seeing,
Mbago
again, probably?
Yeah, I think. I think Ezra being in league with Lando and getting captured by Ez Morrigan all ties into Ezra's deal with Mbago that is still unfulfilled.
Right.
Zaga's very underdeveloped.
Yeah, he is. I'd like to know more about him. He's basically Scarface in Star Wars. See, Cadro is Spanish for I Scar, and Visago is Esperanto for face. So he is Scarface.
I do hope we'll see some of the bounty hunters from episode 5, it's like Dengar.
Yeah.
Aura Sing. Aura Sing.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Well, Dengar and Aura and all of those guys were supposed to have another Clone Wars appearance. They were in, weren't they in Dark Disciple?
Aura was not.
Okay, but the rest were.
Yeah, Dengar and Bo.
See
the story reel for them fighting Dooku is out there on StarWars.com. Just that scene.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm. It's in the video of the Clone Wars panel from Celebration. It's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah. There's a lot of Dark Disciple story reel in there. There's like 8 minutes of it.
I'm going to have to look into
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see Echo.
That would be cool. I haven't finished those story reels.
I haven't either.
So I don't want to know. Don't spoil it if you know. But
yeah, I do know.
All right, don't say anything.
I'm not gonna say anything.
But that would be cool. But I hope it doesn't become Clone Wars 2. Like I hope it stands
yeah.
on its
own. Yeah, I don't want this to be just hey, how many clones can we bring yeah. back? And
I'd like to see Cody as a drill sergeant. And
Cody, yeah.
As I understand it, at the same time they brought in Sam Witwer to play the Emperor. They also brought in
he did a good job as the Emperor.
He did a great job as always. But I think at the same time they brought in. I'm going to butcher his name, but I think it's Andrew Cascino who played Saw Gerrera from the Onderon arc in Clone Wars. The leader of the Onderon Rebels, the self-appointed leader of the Onderon Rebels, who nobody voted for. So, well, eventually they did, right?
Yeah.
But I would like to see him, because the symbol, we saw this last week when we watched the Onderon arc, Zoe and I, the symbol of the Onderon Rebels is the top 3 points of the Rebel Alliance symbol. So I think if you combine that with Sabine's Phoenix.
That meshes into the Rebel symbol we know.
Yeah.
I kind of hope a little bit we'll see Lux, but I don't want any Lux, Ahsoka, anything.
Yeah.
That was an arc I never really wanted to see.
Yeah.
Ahsoka needs to be with Nuru, Kunga Ramara from the Secret Missions.
Yes.
Yes.
Ryder Windham would be all about that. A little EU detour. Did you know that Ryder's intent with that character was that he grows up to be the Chiss swoop bike gangster in Shadows of the Empire?
Spiker,
yep. Oh, man. That's funny. But, yeah, I mean, I liked Lux. I thought he was interesting. A kid that truly believes in the ideals of the Separatists.
Lux was an interesting character, but the Lux Ahsoka romance was not.
Yeah, that fell flat.
And that's okay, because it didn't really need to be anything, because she's a Jedi, so...
Yeah, but it was kind of realistic in an unprecedented way for, like, a fantasy romance, because, like, Lux fell for somebody else, and Ahsoka just kind of had the deal, and that's how it goes sometimes. Like, I thought that was interesting, yeah?
That was a part I liked, that she just accepted it and continued on with her training.
Even though I think we would all take Steela Guerrera, or would take Ahsoka Tano over Steela Guerrera.
Yeah.
Let's not turn this into a shipping debate, because that would kill us.
Cham.
I'd really like to see Cham Syndulla. There's going to be episodes that go more into why Hera and Zeb each have their respective reasons to hate the Empire. Yeah. And Zeb's arc, they said, will remind him who the real enemy is, which should be interesting. Hera, they cleared up that they specifically said, I think, that we're going to see her relationship with her father. So I think we're going to see Cham, or at least hear a lot about him.
His story was very unfinished, and
yeah.
I would like to see a lot
and
more
was,
of him.
Yeah, he was interesting. I liked him. Yeah. That was...
I mean, he was a huge part in the Lords of the Sith book.
Yeah. I haven't read that yet, but I've heard that. I was super excited in the Clone Wars. I don't know if you remember back when they did the webcomic that they would put out a couple days before every Clone Wars episode.
I loved Commander Gonch.
Yes. I've seen a couple good Gonch costumes. Do you know about this, Zoe? They had a comic that would be a prequel to the upcoming Clone Wars episode that they would put out right before the episode. And for the week that we were introduced to Cham Syndulla, there was no comic. There was a Twi'lek tapestry with the Ballad of Cham Syndulla, and it was like a song about all of Cham's heroic exploits. And it was awesome, and I was so excited for this character. And then he didn't do that much. He said no, Mace, and then he said yes, Mace, and that was it.
That was an arc focused on Mace when it should have been focused on Cham.
Yes.
Agreed.
Right. Well, that was when Clone Wars was really hyper Jedi focused. I mean, it always kind of was.
Yeah.
But then it narrowed it to just Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka.
Which kind of was the opposite of what I was hoping for. Because there's so many Jedi, and you had the potential in the early Dark Horse comics. They did a lot more story arcs with other Jedi.
They did. Like Kit Fisto and Aayla Secura, obviously.
There's a lot of Ki-Adi Mundi.
We did get some clone art, but really good clone art.
Really good clone art. Yeah, that was, honestly, the show was at its best when it was characterizing the clones, I think.
Because we didn't see that in the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It bridged Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, but you know how that ends.
That was the hardest part about reading any kind of prequel thing. It's like, well, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
But you love the ride the whole time.
Exactly. And that's what's exciting about The Force Awakens.
That we know nothing.
Yeah, and Rebels, because it's a new cast of characters.
But you still know where it's going to go.
We know they're going to win. But that's kind of what Rogue One is, too. Like, we know where that's going to go, but we don't know how these five characters that we're supposed to care about are going to end up. And I like that.
I still hope that...
Well, we know how one's going to end up because he's totally Binks.
I'm really, really, really hoping for that.
Diego Luna looks... Seriously, if you're listening to this, like, go to StarWars.com right now. Okay, you're probably there. I'm sure you have fast internet. Search Rogue One. Okay, yeah, it's that one page. All right, click that. And look, you see it. You see it. You see Diego Luna is Biggs. Yeah, that's right, dear listener. That's Biggs. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can close it out now if you want.
I'm very excited for Alan Tudyk, of Firefly fame, to be
Gollum.
Right now they're just saying he's motion capture, but clearly...
He's Gollum.
He's Gollum, He's going to be voicing whatever this character is. Because there would be no reason to bring in Alan Tudyk just to motion capture.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to be a Bothan, but I'm hoping he's going to be a Bothan.
I would like to see the Bothans done with prosthetics, though.
It depends which version they do, because I've seen some Bothans where they have goat legs.
Oh, yeah, true. That would be difficult.
I want Bothan's thighs.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're depicted of having, like, humanistic bodies. Yeah. Sometimes they're depicted of having goat legs.
I'm interested to see, speaking of Rogue One and bringing it back to Rebels, Gary Whitta, who wrote the first couple drafts of Rogue One, is now a writer on Rebels.
That's cool.
I think we're going to see crossover stuff.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That actually would be a very good story arc.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Wedge.
I do too.
Yes. Yes.
The Wedge Ahsoka connection in Fulcrum.
I don't think we're going to see quite that.
Aftermath. No, because that was just Chuck
throwing that out there. Yeah.
But
you might want to say Chuck's full name.
Chuck Wendig, who wrote Aftermath. But I think he admitted on his blog that was kind of wishful thinking. In Aftermath, there's a throwaway paragraph where Wedge explains that it was Ahsoka Tano who convinced him to be a rebel pilot. Well, Fulcrum. How many Fulcrums?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I'm kind of hoping that Fulcrum's kind of like the Dread Pirate Roberts of Princess Bride, where it's just like, well, Ahsoka was Fulcrum this month, and then she passed on, and Fulcrum's somebody else next month.
That would be interesting.
Because there's a little chunk of time in the EU back way when where that was what Boba Fett was.
Boba
Fett had like a Dread Pirate Roberts thing, and it was actually his daughter going around as Boba Fett.
Right, Aelin Vell.
And then like one time she takes off her helmet and it's like, whoa, hey, Boba Fett's a woman.
Or was Sintus Vell? Sintus Vell was his daughter.
No, Sintus was his wife.
Okay, and Aelin was the daughter.
Yes.
And then what was the granddaughter's name again?
Mir Tegev.
Right, Mir Tegev.
But now that's all EU.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah. Next time we do this, which we should totally make this a regular thing. Once you guys are a little further along in Aftermath, we need to talk about something.
Okay.
Very, 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 very relevant.
Is it Aura Singh and Wedge have?
No.
Okay.
It's relevant to the Fett conversation.
Because I want more Aura Singh and Wedge and. Yes.
Yeah. I would like to see more of both of those characters. Aura Singh was pretty underdeveloped. I thought that was interesting in Clone Wars, how she was like this sociopath teaching an 11-year-old boy how to murder people who made him angry.
And,
where does that come from?
I'm totally okay with her being that kind of one-dimensional. She's just a hunter who is very good at being a hunter.
But how did she get there? I want to know more about her.
Back to Rebels. I hope we see Leia.
Yeah, that would be cool.
At some point.
That would be cool.
Because she's with the Alliance.
I totally think Ezra was her first boyfriend.
I think Princess Jasmine would get jealous if Leia steals space and lands from him.
True, I don't know though. I don't know. She hasn't expressed any interest in him thus far.
Oh, we're just comparing Sabine to Jasmine.
Oh, like no, that. I'm not comparing them. No? I'm just I'm making a Space Aladdin reference because Ezra looks a lot like Aladdin.
Oh, I just
like to give him a hard time about being Space Aladdin.
Yeah. For those of you who don't, which is probably most of you who don't know, I troop as Ezra Bridger, and Bobby's kind of a one-trick pony who calls me Space Aladdin all day at every Legion event. But I love him.
I gotta do something to have some fun.
You do, when you're an Imperial gunner.
But I think we could definitely, just for a little bit, I think we could see Leia.
Yeah,
even if she's just in a hologram or something, because we have Bail.
Yeah, we do. If she's just hanging out, observing.
Or Clone Wars was very good at, like, the season finales bringing in the characters that you already know. Like, was it season 3 or 4 when they brought in Chewie?
Chewie.
So that could be something like this season.
That was good. Arc.
Filoni points to that as his favorite arc. I think that was the one of the
I like that. I was just mad that they never made a figure set of the couple Padawans stuck on Trandosha.
Yeah, they were cool.
But that's completely irrelevant.
I kind of wonder if their stories continued. Like, what happened once they got back to the temple?
Order 66 happened.
Okay, yes. But there was
it's kind of, if you don't see a Jedi again, I'm okay with just going with the blanket. Oh, Order 66.
Yeah.
But there was some time in between there.
Yeah.
Oh, so how do we think... it's confirmed that Rex, Wolf, and Gregor never participated in Order 66. They left before that. How do you think they got out?
Well, Rex probably actually listened to 5, the ship, because they have the stars on their head.
We never see him again, do we?
Fives?
No, Rex. After that. We never really meaningfully see him again.
I don't think...
He was in the... Oh, what was the story arc with... The Bad Batch.
Right. Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he was with the Bad Batch. And was he in the Utapau ones?
No?
Okay. Well, he's definitely in Bad Batch. Bad Batch was another one, like the Utapau arc, where it was the story reels were done, and they were shown at Celebration first, and then they were on StarWars.com. They're probably still up on StarWars.com.
Yeah. If not, they're on YouTube. I watched them on YouTube. I only watched the first 2 so far.
But, so we see the scars are all in their head.
Yeah.
So we know Rex probably listened to 5 and tried to get as many other clones as he could.
Yeah.
And I can see...
Clearly didn't do a very good job.
Hey.
Hey.
That
wasn't an insult, it's just he only got 2 other guys.
I don't know why Wolf, of all clones, would have listened to Rex. Because we never really saw them.
Yeah, but...
So,
that is interesting, because Wolf was very, almost like Cody.
Wolf was very by the book.
But Wolf had a Jedi Master who constantly instilled... not that Obi-Wan didn't, but he constantly instilled Plo Koon that your individuals, your people, like,
you matter.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the first... I think the first arc
Plo Koon was
Clone Lives Matter,
yeah.
But no. Well, I knew Wolf from the beginning... Like, everybody was like, what happened to Rex? But I knew Wolf, there was going to be something was going to happen to him. Either he was going to leave or die, because first of all, Dave loves him, because he's a wolf. And second of all...
For those of you that don't know, Dave Filoni has a wolf upset. Doesn't he, like...
He loves wolves.
Yeah.
He what?
That,
okay.
Conservation in the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, that wolves. I couldn't think of the conservation word. Thank you.
No, but... And also in...
Me fail English.
It's Commander Jagalar in... Revenge of the Sith with Plo Koon. It's not Wolf.
Right.
So.
Then Gregor, his chip probably got, like, broken or messed up.
Yeah.
An explosion, but how did they find him?
My original guess was that they were on Abafar, but thanks to these episodes getting leaked in the United Kingdom and that clip of Ahsoka, we know that they're on Celo. New planet. So.
Good to know. I didn't know that, so thank you for.
It's not a spoiler. It's the first.
I know.
So I wonder how they found him.
I don't know.
You know, I was kind of angry about with the Gregor arc. That was the first time you saw a Celestian in the Clone Wars, and he was a jerk.
He was not a nice man. Was that the only time we saw him?
That was the only Celestian.
Right.
That was like the one and only time that there was a Celestian in the entire series. And I like that race. They're just like a fun-looking
So he's saying that the Clone Wars is racist toward.
No, it's just like weird because the only other time you see one is Nin-Yub hanging out in the Falcon with Lando. And again, it's not like he really did anything. He just kind of was there. But and then the next time you see another one of his species, he's this overweight, grumpy slave owner.
Yeah, Porco.
Is that his name, Porco?
Porco.
Porco.
Porcus. Porcus. That was
which
it.
Is it?
Porcus.
You're Porcus.
But yeah, I really hope these episodes get leaked here.
I don't.
I can wait a couple.
No, we can watch them.
I want to.
You can't wait a couple weeks.
No.
No.
I've waited long enough.
I mean, I don't want to wait, but I'd rather have it officially.
I don't want to wait.
Sorry.
Officially released.
I guess.
I'd feel better about myself.
I can be a good boy and wait till they're officially up on. You know, I don't have cable, so I watch them on Disney's XD's website. What are they, like the next day?
No, it's usually a week before.
The week before? Okay.
And their iTunes is the next day.
Okay. I can wait.
I'll force myself to wait. Now I look like the jerk.
Yep. Well, jerk. That wasn't really a hard accomplishment.
No, it wasn't. Not at all.
I'm still waiting for Imperial Gunners to be in this series.
Didn't you ask Dave Filoni?
I did ask. At the Rebels premiere, Dave came home to Pittsburgh. And I was in my Imperial Gunner uniform, and I asked him, like, how long do I have to wait? And he gave me a vague non-answer of, someday they'll be in there.
That means they're not even in development.
You know what?
They were working on the beginnings of season two then, so maybe at the end, maybe in season three.
I can wait.
Maybe there'll be one named Bobby Lynn.
Yeah.
That's for you.
There should be. I'm an important gunner.
Does he know your name?
He does.
He could. Good.
He's not going to remember me. That's
he
okay. He'll
remember you.
He might.
You're a very good-looking Imperial gunner.
Thank you. I wear that helmet very well.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, more Star Wars. Oh, yeah.
Never really a bad thing.
No. Well.
Okay.
Well, it's bad whenever Mr. Fusion runs out of garbage and your flux capacitor runs out of gas.
Who's this guy? Can we get him out of here?
Is that not Star Wars?
Not
Am I
quite.
Confusing it?
Not quite. Not quite.
Is it the Rufus comes back, tells us to be excellent to each other?
That's a little different, too.
That's not Star Wars either?
Not yet, no. That's an episode 8 concept. Oh, by the way, the rumor that Mark Hamill, like, severely hurt himself shooting on Skellig Michael for episode 8?
Yeah.
Totally false. Mark debunked everything on Twitter. I think the media, they wanted to perpetuate the story of a Star Wars curse after the Millennium Falcon attacked Harrison Ford savagely on set because it was jealous it wasn't getting paid as much as him.
And fly, then... yes. Land, no.
Yep. Oh, man.
Remember that time we got to meet Mark Hamill at Star Wars Weekends?
Yes, I do. Yes, what did he say again?
Well, I wasn't there whenever he was talking to you.
He said something to you, though. No, mine was a little... You tell yours first.
Mine was... At Star Wars Weekends, there were 5 of us dressed as Imperial Gunners, and we were back behind stage in the... what do you want to call it? The launch zone. It's the area where we're getting ready to head out for the parade, but we're not actually in sight of the crowds yet, so we could have our buckets off and drink some water and hydrate and relax a little bit before the big show. Mm. And Mark's in his van, and of all the people he could have waved over to his van to talk to, he grabs the 5 gunners, and he's, what are you guys doing? You got your helmets off? Come on, get in character, get your helmets on, you gotta get excited. I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, I don't... Starry Mr. Skywalker, and I'll put my helmet on. Thank you, goodbye. It was just like a moment, like, Mark Hamill's yelling at me to put my helmet on.
That was fun. That was a good time.
And then yours.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so I usually troop as Ezra Bridger or Luke Skywalker, but I wear my Endor Commando for Star Wars Weekends. And I'm in the Endor Rebel Soldier costume, and Mark walks up, and he's talking to everybody, and I give him one of my Luke Skywalker Rebel Legion trading cards. And Mark's like, oh, wow, Ryan, is this is this you? And I'm like,
it's me.
It's me. And I'm all proud. Like, Mark Hamill's about to compliment my Luke. And he's like, this looks just like. And I'm like, yeah. Like, he's going to say I look just like him. Man, this is awesome. And he's like, this looks just like Justin Bieber. And, well, you've now ruined my vacation, Mr. Hamill. But I just kind of, yeah, thanks. They call me Sky Bieber in Pennsylvania. Sky Bieber. Yeah, like Skywalker. Yes, yes, I get it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And that was Mark Hamill.
So Mark Hamill ruined your vacation just yep. like you ruined my
No, family. I'm kidding. That was actually amazing. Like, I went right on Facebook. I was like, I posted the transcript of the conversation, and everybody was very happy.
That was like the day after Jess and I went home from our honeymoon. It was like that Friday was the last day, and that happened to you that next morning in the Saturday parade.
Nice. And Ray Park signs Zoe's homework once. Nice.
Yeah.
At Steel City Con.
Yeah.
Hanging out, working City, on our homework in the hotel.
Steel City Con's a local convention in the Pittsburgh area, Monroeville. So local, I say local, I forget that I'm sitting here in Lancaster right now. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm just visiting for Zoe's birthday weekend.
Yes. I don't even have a local. I'm a nomad, but... Speaking of her birthday weekend, we should sing to her.
We and should embarrass not. Her.
We're already embarrassing her enough. We can let it slide.
All right.
Okay.
All right. If anybody wants to embarrass Zoe, please contact one of us. There are so many embarrassing childhood videos we've been watching all day, and they all involve Star Wars. Because if there is one bona fide, from birth, Star Wars fan, it's Zoe Hinton, and it's beautiful, really.
I think we could easily get her dad to put them up on YouTube. We can put some links. And
some of them are already on YouTube,
The one where she goes through the Clone Wars poster and basically plays charades with herself explaining the characters when she was 6 years old. That one's online already.
Because Clone Wars came out when I was in, like, second grade, so I wasn't
sick. Oh, so you were, like, eight. Okay, big difference. Big difference. Truly wonderful, the mind of a child is. It's Master Yoda.
Thank you for explaining that quote. I didn't
Anytime,
understand.
Anytime, baby. But, yeah. All in all, I think, has there ever been a better time to be a Star Wars fan? Yes, there was. 2012, because I hadn't met Bobby Lynn yet.
Oh, come on. Harsh.
No, there's never been a better time to be a Star Wars fan, really.
No.
This is the Star Wars Renaissance.
Yeah, man. This is the first time that we're going to get 3 movies in 18 months.
It's just bizarre living... the early 90s where there was no Star Wars whatsoever. Yep. And the Kenner bulky He-Man figures is all we had to appease ourselves.
I didn't even get into Star Wars until The Phantom Menace. I just had no interest. I had 3 Pez dispensers as a kid. And that was I had Vader, Chewie, and 3PO. And they were all heroes.
I didn't get into Star Wars until after The Phantom Menace.
You did not exist until shortly before Attack of the Clones.
I was 4 years old whenever my grandma got me into Star Wars.
I don't remember.
She gave me all my uncle's Kenner action figures, the whole shebang, and I didn't really understand any of it, but I loved every minute of it. And she would show me the movies, and I'm like, can we go back to the part with Jabba's palace? Okay, now I'll go with the cantina. I want to watch the cantina.
Nice.
All right, now how about the Ewoks? I want to watch the Ewoks.
I've got to tell a story about Bobby's grandmother.
Okay.
I was in Bobby's wedding, which was a Star Wars wedding. 2 stormtroopers followed the bride down the aisle, and Bobby was flanked by 2 TIE pilots the whole time. And it was, honestly, it was beautiful. Like, it was the best wedding I've ever been
And then
to.
At the reception, everybody else came in
oh,
with
yeah.
their
we had,
respective costumes.
We had, like, what, like 20 characters at the reception?
Yeah.
And I was Luke Skywalker, and I did a reading about, I mean, well, you guys have been to weddings. What do you talk about at weddings? Wookiees in love. And so...
We took the poem... The Lovely Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry, the title is A
Lovely,
Lovely
Other Dinosaur.
Lovely Love Story is the name of the
right.
is a poem. But in the story, it talks about the dinosaur and the lovely other dinosaur.
Right.
And talks about how they're in love and what the things they do when they're in love.
And well, they were like, can you read this and change every instance of the word dinosaur to Wookiee? And I was like, I can't read it and not change every instance of the word dinosaur to Wookiee. So I do the reading as Luke Skywalker, and... after the wedding, they asked me to be in the receiving line because apparently they like me or something.
Well, you're still in costume and people wanted to high five the costume nuts.
And Bobby's grandmother comes through the line and she starts to hug me and go for the kiss. And then she's like, ah, wait, wait, wait. You're not the groom I'm looking for. Oh, man. You have it in your house. She framed that segment of wallpaper signed by Darth Vader at Toys R Us.
1978. They went to a Walmart, or not a Walmart, but a wallpaper store back whenever things like that existed. And she bought Star Wars wallpaper, and it was all just different scenes from the first movie.
Right.
And at the store, they just happened to have a Darth Vader, and he was like the perfect size. He was just very convincing. My grandma to this day is still convinced that it was 100% Darth Vader at the store, and picks up my sister by the arms, like Iron Cross lifts her up. And just,
he knew Beth's name.
And he said her name. My grandma was baffled. He's like, I didn't tell him your name. I don't know how he knew your name.
That's adorable.
But Darth Vader signed the wallpaper, and she... that might have been a wedding present or whenever we got our first apartment together, but she framed it and gave it to me as a gift.
You had it before the wedding, I think, because I saw it.
That's right, that's right. But
it was, yeah. But
it's a very treasured piece of junk, really.
Heck yeah. But those are the coolest Star Wars collectibles. Just the random stuff. I have a coaster. We don't need to get into the story, but I have a coaster from a German brewery signed by Dave Filoni with a questionable picture of Captain Rex drawn on. And like sometimes those are the best collectibles, like the random stuff. Yeah.
Homework signed by Darth Maul.
Yeah, homework signed by Darth Maul. Yeah.
Darth Maul making fun of me for my multiple costumes.
Right, yeah, you gotta tell that one.
My favorite costume that I have, currently I'm just a 501st member. I'm working on a Wedge Antilles costume and a Biff musician, but just playing the waiting game for those parts to come in. But with the 501st, I have an Imperial gunner, a TIE pilot, and multiple variations of officers. And I meet Ray Park once in my officer, and we're talking a while, and I got him to sign some lightsabers for these girls that were getting teased at school for liking Star Wars. I'm telling him the story about this, and he's like, I don't understand. Like, well, they're getting teased for liking Star Wars. But I don't understand, why are they being teased for liking Star Wars? Why is it something you get teased about? And he was very nice to them. The girls were very overwhelmed, and whenever he came in to talk to them, they were in tears. Eventually, after they calmed down, I took them back over to his booth at the convention, and at this point, I'm in a different costume, and he's looking at me, he's like, weren't you wearing something different? I'm like, yeah, I have a lot of them, don't worry about it. And talked to them for a while and signed some more stuff with them, took pictures with them, and very friendly guy. And then later on in that same day, I was in my TIE pilot and with a friend getting an autograph. And he looks at me, he's like, that's the third costume change I've seen you in today. How many more are you going to do? I'm like, don't worry about it. I got a lot. It's fine. So then a couple months later after that at Star Wars Weekends, I'm in the parade again, and he looks over at me, stares at me for a minute like, I know you. Why do I know you? And then it dawned on him. He's like, are you just following me now? And you're in the same costume as before. At least you're, you know, not something completely different again.
Again.
Mr. Potato Head. I am a Mr. Potato Head with my costumes. I'm okay with that.
Well, I think we put in a good half hour and change.
Yeah.
And this was a good conversation. So I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it. Or as much as it can be enjoyed with Bobby.
Thank you.
I love you, Bobby. I'm sorry. He's always told me to
shut up, baby. I know.
But,
so you want to give a little outro? This is your show.
I'm Zoe Hinton. I'm here with Ryan Miarelli and Bobby Lynn, and that's the show. Great.